Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days for Lives and Friends. Tonight, the Diva Spy Network and I will discuss the last few weeks of the show. Please feel free to call in at 914-338-1239. You can also join us in our chat room. And also, you can call us in using Skype. You can follow us daily at our blog at divadaysofourlives.blogspot.com. We are also on Facebook. You can find us at Diva Days. Don't forget to catch our interview with Wally Kerr live on Tuesday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time for an hour. So, everybody.
Hello,
have,
everyone.
Hello. We have Fancy Face here.
Hello.
We have Saddle Shoes. Maybe your battery died. The Queen of the Night.
Oh. Hello.
And Rose is here.
Yep. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Hey. Hi, Rose.
Hey.
So.
Battle Shoes, huh?
Yeah, she must have lost her battery. It
Aww.
Still says she's on there, but obviously we can't hear. So I wanted Fancy Face to first to discuss our interviews with Judy Evans and Gloria Loring, since she was the one who did the interviews. And they both went really well. And I really enjoyed both of them.
Uh-huh.
Both the actresses were just fantastic.
Yeah, well, both interviews I think went very well. Gloria Loring was, anyone who has heard the interview or participated knows it was a bit of a reality TV interview because when I called Gloria to, you know, to get her set up on her guest call-in number, she was actually on her way to the hospital across California to be present at the birth of her grandchild. So I was kind of freaking out, trying to hold it back, but kind of freaking out a little bit. And I just asked her, are you sure you want to do the interview? Oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'm driving across California. I don't have anything else to do anyway but drive, you know. So, like, oh, she was such a trooper. And I was worried most of the time through the interview of her having some kind of a traffic accident while trying to hold an interview and driving at the same time. But she seemed to be okay. We lost her a few times in the interview when she'd go under a bridge or whatever. But for the most part, it was fine. And she had some great things to say about all the different projects she's involved in. I had no idea how busy she is. She's, you know, writing a book and doing a concert and recording a new album and just very much keeping herself very busy. And and we had some great Days of Our Lives questions from the people that called in. And it was a fun time. Judy Evans was a lot less drama with getting her connected up, but it was a very good interview, and I really, I was very happy with it. I think we got a lot of insight into how she is as an actress and all the different roles she played. And I mean, I've heard different podcasts from her before, but I liked also how ours, you know, because it's obviously about Days of Our Lives, we got to talk a whole lot about Adrian and Bonnie, and I've heard tons of stuff about her from Another World and Guiding Life, but I was glad to, you know, hear her insights about the Days of Our Lives stuff, which I've never had a chance to hear very much of. So, and she was a gracious lady, and I was very, very happy with it. And, of course, then, as you mentioned, Wally Kurth is coming, and he's going to be talking about the Kurth and Taylor concert that will be coming up the weekend of June 6th. Okay. When any Days fan who's in California will be in heaven, because there's the Martha Madison event at Henry's Hat And then the next day, there's the Francis Reed Memorial Luncheon. I believe after the luncheon is his concert. So that's the place to be. If you're if you can be in California that weekend, that's the place to be. And he wants to get word out about the band because a lot of the band really got a lot of popularity while he was on General Hospital as Ned Ashton. But he's not sure that so many Days of Our Lives fans know about it. And so we're just sort of spreading the word and letting people know what the band's all about. And I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's good because I never knew he was in a band until...
Well, yeah, that's
that
what
out.
he wants people to know. And, you know, and I knew he was in a band, but I didn't know, you know, if people look on our blog, we posted links to the video that they did to Let's Get the Band Back Together, which is a really cute video, which, you know, I'll give you a little sneak preview about what I'm going to talk to him about a little bit, is they made that video for very little money because most of it was a lot of the tech stuff was done via the computer and it was very cost effective so I want to get a little more insight from them about how they managed I think they're actually going to be doing not at the Days concert but a little later on a do-it-yourself workshop talking about doing your own music videos or whatever with the computer and making it a cost effective way And yeah, I didn't even know he had a music video. And then I just researching him for the interview, I saw all this great stuff, and it's really interesting. And yeah, I mean, the Days fans should know about it because he's getting new fans as Justin. And this time around, and let's spread the word and let them get the band back together again and get a little more recognition again.
Oh, I love that clip. I watched it today. That video was hysterical. The music's really good, too.
Oh, yeah, it was a cute video. Yeah, it was good. They have a good sound. I like them. I've been listening to some of the other music, too, his other music, the other songs. They're all good.
Yeah, the whole best of hits interview that he came and talked. His Best of Hits CD, the Kurth and Taylor Best Hits CD, came out last year, I think in December. So you can get it on iTunes, and there's about, 16 or 17 songs on there. So, yeah, I downloaded it. It's really good. It's got the new song, two new songs and a lot of the other songs. And the other songs were actually, they polled their fans and asked what their favorite songs were and put them on the greatest hit CD. So that was kind of cool, I thought. And I don't know how many of them were actually sung on General Hospital, but maybe we can get an idea of it during the interview.
Well, I sure hope he stays on Days because, I didn't pay too much attention to Justin the first time around on Days, but now, I don't know, he's really grown on me as a character and as an actor. I mean, he really has a presence. He's not bad to look at either.
Those dimples.
He's a darling. He really is. But I hope they keep him, they keep his role current.
Well, as Judy Evans revealed, she's still taping, so I imagine if she's still taping, he's still taping. I'm hoping
will
be.
That's into June then, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll still be around. They may have less air time with the whole
Francis
Reed
thing
coming up.
I hope they get back together.
I do too, because I just don't think, well, it seems, I think they finally got the message that Justin and Hope just isn't going to fly. I mean, it's just not working right. Now all of a sudden we're seeing her having this multiple personality, I guess because of pills or whatever. But yeah, at least they're getting Hope in a different direction, and maybe they're getting Justin and Adrian back in the same direction because, yeah, you just see Wally and Judy together in their scenes, and that old chemistry is still there, and it's just I just don't think it's really there with Wally and Christian as much.
No,
I'm not even blaming the actors. I'm blaming the writing because I think they really screwed up the writing with that story from the beginning. You know, she's never, Hope has never given Justin a chance. It's always been Bo this and Bo that, even though Bo's treating her like crap. And you know, and it's just, you know, there's got to be a little give and take if you're going to have a real romance. Otherwise, they're just watching Justin, who used to be, you know, sort of an arrogant rich boy's nephew who could get any woman he wanted, and now he's just being kind of a schmuck, you know?
Well, Hope is going to need a good defense attorney somewhere along the line, plus a good psychiatrist. So they're going to have to bring a psychiatrist on the show, too. But, you know, they already did this storyline with Nick, you know, and the sleeping pills and going nuts. So, to me, I don't know.
Kimberly,
I don't know why they're doing it.
Personality back in, didn't she? Didn't Kimberly have that problem, a double personality? She was a hooker. Yeah. It was the same thing, kind of.
But then there's some people that think that Hope has come back as Princess Gina. I don't know.
That's who she's acting like. Maybe Dr. Rolfe's still alive. Planted. Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, if they want to do a real Ambien storyline, the people on Ambien basically eat without knowing it, and sometimes they drive away in a car in their sleep. But that's about it. They're not going around whacking people and playing poker in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Sleeping pills do that? I don't think so. I don't know.
No, now Ambien people were experiencing sleepwalking and eating and sleep driving. Yeah, but they weren't whacking people, you know, allegedly.
This whole thing reminds me of the whole Marlena thing, you know, with, well, when she was possessed, and then the next time when she was the Salem stalker, and that sort of started out with Bo and Hope being whacked at the fashion show, you know. So I'm watching this, and it just reminds me of that whole, you know, it's kind of like they have different reasons for why they're having the, like, multiple personality storylines, but I just feel like, oh, okay, it's Princess Gina again, it's the possession again, it's, you know, I don't know, I'm not really into it yet, especially since we've already seen Christian Alfonso playing, you know, this kind of thing before with Princess Gina. I'm not into it yet, and I really want to know why Dr. Baker is alive.
reason Hope is doing this is to get the money, and her and Dr. Baker to get the money for gambling. That's the reason? Right, she's hitting them on the head and still getting the money. But yeah, and do you see then they're gambling? And, you know, Dr. Baker has a gambling problem. That seems to be why Hope, you know, first we thought, why is she targeting, like, Abe and that? I don't think there's any. I think the reason is just for the money, and then she goes out and is gambling. But, yeah, I don't know how Dr. Baker's alive either. I don't understand
that. Is he going to prescribe more pills for her, or... will he eventually be the one to diagnose her with the, in the end, and be the good guy where they redeem him and he diagnoses her? But that will be a year down the line, I'm sure.
I don't know.
I don't think there's much in the way of redemption for him. I mean, it's going to take more than that.
Is there anything with the baby switch storyline? Is there going to be more for that with him returning? I'm wondering that. Because there's rumors out there flying around about Nicole's baby still being alive.
Well, maybe Dr. Baker was in on, like, Chad. You know, maybe he knows something about Chad, who was Chad's. Maybe that's it.
Who knows? With this Madeline and Kate and Stefano.
Yeah, there's the rumors of Chad being, like, a Demira kid.
Yeah,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what's coming up. I don't know. I hope not, because I'm not. I'm just not into Chad enough to want him to be a Demira. But speaking of which, isn't it great news about? I mean, it's terrible to say, but that Mia won't be around anymore. I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, yeah. She hasn't been on though for a while, so it's like I haven't missed her at all. She hasn't been on for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not broke up about that, no.
I wrote on a couple boards about how the actor, the male nurse that Vivian bribed, he was on for 2 days. He won the talent contest in Detroit at the fan event. He was one of the winners. His name is Henri Franklin. He was the nurse that made up the story to Chloe about Daniel and Chloe going to the hotel, the Mercer, whatever. He made up all that stuff. Well, Vivian paid him off. Yeah, that guy, he won the talent contest in Detroit in November.
He's
one of the two winners.
Yeah, I noticed him. He reminded me of an actor on One Life to Live. He reminded me of a doctor character on One Life to Live. Neat. I can't remember his name.
A break for him.
Yeah, but they flew him out there and everything, you know, and gave him the royal tour and got him on the show.
Yeah. That's cool.
They made a story for him. And the other winner of the talent contest in Detroit, he's going to be in a storyline with Mia. He's going to be a young teenager or something. Mia's last storyline coming up. She's going to have some scenes or whatever. He's going to be in those scenes with her. So, well, that's what I have to look forward to.
Yeah, the Taylor Spangler thing, when she was first on, I liked her, because I was like, oh, here's this sweetest girl who's pregnant and, you know, and really doesn't want to have the baby, doesn't know what to do. And I liked her, but then they gave her this great storyline that any teen actress would die for, and she just didn't execute. She just dropped the ball. And she just kind of kept the same monotone, the same voice. She just didn't emote. And that's when it started becoming obvious she was kind of one note, and that's all she did. And then the writers came in and started making her bitchy. And it doesn't make any sense. She's fighting for Chad now when she didn't tell him she was pregnant with his baby. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that, Chris, you see the same thing about Sammy and EJ, but it just... You know, if you don't want, it seems to me that just seems kind of bizarre that you didn't want to share the pregnancy and the baby with them, but, you know, all of a sudden now you want them back. And then, I do like Casey Dietrich. I think he's a decent actor. He's not a DeMera, but he's a decent actor. And none of the Wills are thrilling me. I mean, basically the whole teen scene is a disaster, and even though we read spoilers and stuff that they're going to ramp it up, casting two more young girls in the teen scene. It's fun to cut your losses eventually.
Yeah.
As long as they get rid of that Kinsey, I just, I want a slugger. so annoying. What an annoying character.
She plays the role well, though. I guess she's supposed to be like that, though, I guess.
There couldn't be a character any more annoying than Jan Spears, and then they managed to find one.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
To me, she's
even
just
more annoying,
another version of Jan Spears, except not even as interesting. And
I kind of like Jan Spears.
Jan was just nuts.
I know, but she was entertaining nuts. You know what I mean?
There's
boring nuts, and there's entertaining nuts. I mean, Jan had her Cupid doll and her cage, and walking Sean over the head. I mean, that was hysterical.
I did like Heather Lindell was the second actress to play Jan Spears, and I thought she was actually pretty good. I mean, she's really good to look at. She's very pretty, and she has some talent. I mean, she was in a whacked-out James E. Reilly storyline, you know, but with the love cage and all that stuff. But the second Jan I liked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At least they gave her stuff to do. The first one was about, went to the Taylor Spreitler School of Acting, I think. I don't think I'm going to be interviewing Taylor anytime soon.
No.
Yeah, I mean, with that all being said, though, Taylor's young and she has potential and she's pretty, and it doesn't mean, you know, we're not saying she can't eventually be a good actress. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I was trying to say on the blog when I wished her well, and I was being sincere. She's young. You know, she can always get better. You know what I mean? This is, you know, and just as you get, you know, one door closes, it doesn't mean another door can't open for you. You know, I mean, she's still got valuable experiences, and she was recurring, and she made us a contract, and that's an accomplishment. And that doesn't mean that she doesn't have a bright future. However, she just it doesn't she doesn't have the talent right now to pull it off on days.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean she can't improve. Yeah.
It used to be that, you know, you could watch the actresses, the young actresses get better on days. Like Christian Alfonso certainly wasn't the best actress in the world when she started the show. And there were a lot of the younger actresses. But the thing is, you know, now when you have the shows just battling to stay on from one year to the next, they don't have time to wait for these young little girls to learn how to act. They need to know how to act when they get there.
Well, Missy Reeves started as a teen or young adult. Boy, she sure came of age and did a wonderful job, and we'd still love to have her back, you know. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for an actress that can grow or has potential, and we haven't seen too much of it lately, or even in the young actor, except for Chad. You know, that's about really the only one right now.
You know, they never gave Chad much of a storyline. He was the guy that, you know, was lied to by Mia. You know, he never had his own personality or anything. And he's getting a bit more of a one now, and he seems like a nice guy, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, why Mia hid the baby from him. I mean, you know, we never actually found out why. He seems decent, and he seemed like he was ready to raise the baby, so I don't, you know, we don't understand why Mia did what she did.
Well, he went to boarding school, I guess, because he had a drug problem.
Sent away by his parents, yeah.
Oh, the drug problem.
I don't think she had any contact with him. I don't think, or did she know where he was? I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of not interesting, but he seems pretty darn squeaky clean for having a drug problem. Same with Brady. He seems pretty squeaky. And Ariana, I guess, too. I mean, you know, drug problems, and they all seem, you know, pretty fine.
There's supposed to be something coming up with Ariana where her past comes
more
back
stuff.
Again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yippee.
But I mean, Ariana working for Nicole, I mean, how hokey is that? I mean, and she knows how to run a camera all of a sudden and yelling cut.
That was all set up. How that fell into play.
She, like, learned it from a book or something. Like, she was, like, a quick study learning to run a camera from this, like, manual she had. I like Nicole as the bitchy diva reporter, though. I think that's good. Cause
I'm tired of her being the victim.
You know, of having her baby taken away and being thrown in jail and all this stuff. And it's like, with Nicole as the reporter, it reminds me more of how Nicole was when she was first on the show, and she was really, you know, an ambitious, money-hungry, you know, business executive type. And to me, that's more who the real Nicole is, not just this loser that's, you know, getting kicked. Even if she deserves getting kicked, she's getting kicked all the time, and I don't like it. I'd rather see Nicole be a bitch every once in a while, and so I do like it where that's going. But
well,
yeah,
they trampled on the rules, though, when it comes to production for, like, a TV news team. I mean, that's a union job. You can't have a newly hired production assistant doing a cameraman's work. I mean, the union be screaming all over the place. I see that really was dim.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's, you know, now you're just trying to find too much reality in the show.
I'm nitpicking.
That's not going to happen.
I'm sorry. I'm nitpicking, yeah.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Ariana. Maybe she is in the union. We just didn't know. But
yeah.
I kind of miss this whole storyline. She's actually doing this for a TV show. Who the hell hired her? I mean, I'm confused.
Brady helped get her. Yeah, Brady helped get her.
Victor gave Philip the whole Titan industry. I don't know what it is. Some TV show owned by Titan, I think.
Philip. Yeah. Helped Nicole, didn't he? Didn't Philip help Nicole?
Yeah, Philip gave the job to he tried to give the job to Melanie, I think, and then it was Chloe or whatever, and then he decided to give it to Nicole.
Chloe, then Melanie, and then Nicole, right.
Well,
and Brady got Ariana.
You know, if this doesn't work out for Nicole, she can always host Hearth and Home for Kate. That went really well for Chloe. why don't they go a little bit more 21st century with jobs? Maybe it's just me. I'm thinking, why don't they have someone be a blogger? I mean, not the stupid party girl crap that Chelsea and Melanie did. I mean, Nicole knows where all the
stuff.
Yeah, Nicole knows where all the bodies are buried. Wasn't she do like a tabloidal Salem Spectator type of website where she's just, you know, gossiping about people? You know, that'd be, and she can do gotcha interviews too, but a lot of bloggers have cameras, especially the one involving politics, and they go into people's faces and ask them embarrassing questions. I mean, she could do that, but put it on a blog instead of putting on a funny TV show no one's ever heard of.
Right.
The tight knowns. I mean, and then you could start a website, a real website about it. You know, do a Salem Spectator. Yeah, I guess that's already a website now, huh? It's a fan site. But yeah, you know, have it be a real website that people can go to and see all of Nicole's antics for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be interesting, but. You know,
that reminds me of like this thing on Young and the Restless they just did, where the character of Jill is working for her son at Restless Style, which is the, you know, Jealous City sort of magazine, which is turning a little bit tabloidistic when Billy, her son, took it over. But she was working for it, and there was this big trial where Victor Newman's daughter was on trial for murder, and Jill is sitting outside of the trial twittering, live twittering the whole trial. Now that is That's the kind of stuff I think that would be, it's like along the lines of what you're talking about, having one of the characters live Twitter or something.
Oh, yeah, because and you can't go anywhere without seeing someone tweeting. I mean, I've gone to professional football games, people are tweeting. I go to hockey games, people are tweeting. You know, I'll sit there on Facebook and someone's posting, hey, I'm at this sporting event. It's like, well, watch the damn game. Why are you on Facebook?
Yeah, stay home and go on Facebook, you know.
But yeah, I just think that's so super annoying. But I mean, yeah, you think you'd see more people sitting around tweeting, or just have. I always thought it'd be great just to have a blogger just park themselves at either the Brady Pub where all the girl fights go down, or the.
I think Sammy said something about Facebook.
She made
some kind of
comment.
Yeah, she did.
I'm going to update my Facebook status.
Yeah.
She said that to Stefano about something.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be funny. Sammy puts on her Facebook, now I'm living in the Mayor Mansion. Woohoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That could prove interesting. I like
to say
something about having to break some brownies. Break some brownies. Sammy was going to be moving.
I can't wait for that storyline. I mean, it has to happen. I mean, Sammy, EJ, Kate, and Stefano, I guess Will's there, too.
And Will's there, too. And it's something about Stefano's going to take Will under his wing.
Yeah.
Sammy's really going to hate that. Yeah, because Will's moved in now, too.
So I don't understand this, because there was a push a few years ago. A lot of fans wanted Lucas to be Tony's son and turn Lucas into Tamara. And there was a rumor that the powers that be shot it down. Didn't think Lucas was demure enough. So why the hell would they think Will and possibly Chad are demure enough as opposed to Lucas? And Lucas actually has a, you know, a bad reputation, a bit of a tarnished reputation.
Yeah, he was a bad boy, yeah.
He was a bad boy
than they were. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, wouldn't he be more, and he worked for, I guess it was Andre back in the day, was it 2002, something like that. Yeah, and that was, you know, that was a pretty decent story.
Yeah, he worked with Andre and Echelon or whatever, right? With Andre and Tony on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a bit of a henchman or a bodyguard or whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, he worked for him.
Yeah, to me that seems like a more viable thing.
They missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, because you could have been Kate and Tony's son. That would have finally given Tony a child if he hasn't had one. And then you'd have the EJ Lucas fighting, because then EJ would be Lucas's uncle. So that would have been awesome. I don't see what's so dramatic about Stefano possibly having another kid with Madeline.
Why Stefano again? Maybe that's not what it is. That's what we think it is.
Well, who else would it be? I mean, the kid's what, 18? Chad's what, 18 now?
19,
So EJ's not old enough to be
his
father.
EJ? No, if not. Huh? Well, of course they can fudge the ages. Like, EJ's only supposed to be a teenager anyway.
Oh, yeah, but he's about 30, right? Yeah, about 30. So, and then Tony was on the island.
Age.
Yeah, Tony was on the island 18 years ago, so he didn't have an affair with Madeline. So, I mean, besides Stefano, or I guess you'd see maybe it was Andre's kid. I mean,
could be, yeah. And Kate, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. The whole thing seems bizarre. And to me, Chad and Will aren't interesting enough to be Damaris, and no one has any vested interest in Madeline or D.A. Woods. And the whole storyline seems kind of dumb. It seems like they just built a storyline for Jessica Tuck, you know what I mean, to give her something good instead of just, you know, being the mom. But, I don't know. I guess we'll see. But the other part of the Damira mansion sounds fascinating, though, with family moving in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's
see
super
her and
annoying.
Bonding again.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be doing it.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be doing it.
Yeah, they're getting back together. We knew that was the end game anyway. Jammy.
Yeah.
And,
what are they going to do with Philip? Who can they put him with? I mean, Melanie,
Philip are growing on me, though. Kind of like that. I don't know.
But, you know, things are going to happen there.
Yeah, they need to find somebody for Philip. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
you think they're going to go back with Flowey?
Yeah, the thing is, though, they used to be a really nice, well, a couple in high school, so they made Philip a bit of a bastard. They made him kind of
right. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but now they keep making them all about sex, though. And it's hard to cheer for Philip. And it seems like all of Chloe's relationships are all sex. That's kind of so she's been back.
Yeah.
You know, Lucas was just about sex, and Daniel was just about sex, and Philip's now just about sex. And
that
just doesn't work. Yeah, she hasn't had sex with Brady yet. Since she's been back.
Yeah.
It can happen. Yes, give her time. So it's hard to cheer for Chloe. And then Melanie seems really immature, and she's just obviously too young to get married, you know, and fickle, so.
Yeah.
Well, gang, I think I'm going to call it a night.
Aww,
well, gang,
okay.
This is Rose. I think I'm going to call it a night, so. Yep, I got to go to work in the morning, so.
All
well,
right.
Have fun, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
We'll see you. Bye. Bye.
Yeah, I think Nathan is pretty fickle, too. It's like one minute he's going to Stephanie and saying, oh, give me another chance. And then the next day he's at Melanie's house and saying, oh, tell me how you really feel. And I I've said this a couple of times, and I just don't feel anything for these characters that just one day it's Philip, one day it's Nathan, the next day it's, I mean, there's no conviction in these people, in these characters, you know? And it's one thing to be young and immature and not really know, you know, what a real relationship is, that sort of thing. But they're not playing it that way. They're just having the characters just being very just shallow, I think.
There's no romance
like
on the show
want,
at all.
Yeah, they want whoever they're not with at the time. And it's just like... Yeah, that's what, you know, that was one thing, and I'm going to go back to the Judy Evans interview for a second. You know, when I was saying about the question when I asked her, you know, why are super couples not super anymore, and she said she believed that they were still super. And I suppose, you know, she mentioned EJ and Sammy, and she has a point with that. And you know, and maybe Justin, Adrian, maybe, well, she's mentioned Beau and Hope, and I wanted to say, hey, they're exactly one of the couples I mean. You look at them right now, you'd never believe they were a super couple, the way that Beau's treating her and left her for Carly and all that. And the thing is, yeah, with Nathan and Melanie and Stephanie and Philip, you know, there's not any kind of, not only is there not any kind of a super couple, but just even your regular run-of-the-mill couple, it just seems to me it's just trading
keep
partners.
Trade off.
There's no,
yeah,
and it's like, what I wanted to say is how can we be invested in a couple when the couples themselves don't seem to be invested in them as a couple, you know? It's like I with Justin and Adrian, you saw the first kiss, you saw the first date, you saw the first breakup, you saw the first Christmas gifts, you know? And it's kind of like, I think that was great because you know, even though the show moved at a slower pace in those days and such, you know, the viewers could go along for the ride and feel like they were part, you know, like they were living along, going right along with a couple, and you felt more emotionally connected that way. But when it's just, oh, I'm in bed with Philip one day, and then I'm going to go out with Nathan the next day, and all, it's just, to me, it happens so fast. And there's so little real emotion involved in it that, I mean, they talk like they're in love and they have emotion, but I'm not seeing it on the screen. I'm not feeling it. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of me being an older viewer watching a younger couple. I don't think it's as simplistic as that, because I can go back and watch the YouTube clips of Frankie and Jennifer, who were not my favorite couple, or Pete and Melissa, who weren't my favorite couple, but there was a lot more emotion invested in those younger couples than there are in the younger couples now, and it's just a matter of, and I think it's a real mistake for the writers not to put that kind of care into a couple, because why should we care if no one else does, you know? And that's my
feeling. And we don't care. I really don't care for, you know, who they end up with. I really don't care who ends up with who.
The thing with Nathan,
I don't know who to root for, really.
Yeah, they keep trying to portray Nathan that he's the good, nice, safe guy. He's banging another girl while he's still after a married woman. To me, seriously, that makes him a narcissistic asshole. That doesn't make him, to me, a nice guy. You don't bang one girl and basically, I think he's kind of pretending to have feelings for her, only when the married woman doesn't want him. I mean, that's, you know.
And I'd love Maggie Horton just to smack him upside the head and tell him to straighten up. That's what they really need.
Yeah, she's always encouraging Melanie to go after Nathan. And Nathan, though, she's never saying, what the hell are you doing, Stephanie? You know, she never seems to question, why are you banging this other girl for? It doesn't make any sense. And they keep trying to ship kind of Philip is the bad guy. Only until recently did he do something wrong. Mm-hmm. But he was pretty into Melanie. The whole Phil and Melanie thing started with the sex tape that they made while Philip was with Stephanie. I mean, you can't, Steve, I don't know if this is higgly, but you can't start off couples this way. You can't start couples off with elevator sex. You can't start couples off with sex tapes. That's not romantic. That's not stories you want to tell your kids.
Right.
Like, Bo and Hope had stories they could tell their kids. Like how Bo swept Hope away on the motorcycle. That's romantic.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, we got together a few months after our sex tape was online. I mean, you're not going to tell your kids
With Bo and Hope, it took a long time before they finally got together and had sex.
Yeah, but she was underage. So, and then poor Melanie, she went from what? 16 to 18 to 21 to 18.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know how old she is. But, this is the reason why I stopped watching The Bold and the Beautiful. Because people would go from dating one time to wanting to have a baby to getting pregnant to getting married, and the groom, like, a week later is banging his ex. I mean, it's just like, why watch the show? When you're watching the weddings, you're like, well, they're going to be divorced in 3 months. That's why I stopped watching the show. They weren't any super couples in that show either, because everybody's so flipping fickle. And,
especially Ridge and Eric. I mean, those guys, it seems like Ridge is like, he's in love with Brooke, and then Taylor, it's still that way, because I've been watching the show just a little bit for the last couple of months, and Taylor will, she'll just be in a conversation with him. All of a sudden they're kissing, and it's like, wait a minute, aren't you in love with Brooke? Why don't you tell her to go away? And Eric, same thing, with Stephanie and Donna. You know, he's married to Donna, and Stephanie's trying to get him back, and they kiss, and you think he's going to be with Stephanie. Then the next day, Donna's mother's sick, so he goes back to Donna, and these men really are fickle, because you just, they're supposed to be, I mean, it seems like the show's trying to write them like, they're decent guys, but they treat their women like crap. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, my favorite character was Nick Moroney. I thought he was fantastic. And basically, it's like, since he had sex with Brooke, I mean, he turned to Rich.
Uh-huh.
It just, you know, he banged three women from the same family. He banged Brooke, he banged her sister Katie, and then then he banged Bridget, Brooke's daughter. So, mm-hmm. He's with one girl and cheats on her with Geraldo. And it's hard. I mean, I know it's a small cast. It's a half an hour show, and that's part of the problem. You only have so many people on the show at once, but they just ruined him. And they ruined Taylor, too, because basically she just marries whoever is Brooke's latest ex-husband.
Yeah.
So she's always, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll marry Brooke first, then I'll marry Taylor next. Then I'll go back
right.
to Brooke after being married to Taylor for 1 week. It's like, all right, I'm done. I give up. I can't watch that show anymore. And days have turned into the same thing.
Well, at least you still have some couples, but it's the older ones, you know, it's the ones that, you know, that are the standards. I mean, because I think there are a lot of people that do think Bo and Hope will get back together once he's over his midlife crisis or whatever.
Yeah. Sure, eventually
hope,
they
you
will
know,
have
even,
them get together.
There's still hope that we'll see Shane and Kim maybe when they come
yeah,
back. Maybe they'll be
yeah.
Get that couple back together. So the older couples, I think there still is that. But with the younger set, there's just no – yeah, with the younger set, I guess all the characters younger than the Sammy group, you know. That's,
mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that just have no commitment of any kind to each other, even when they're married or not married or whatever.
Yeah, but the older couples, everybody still wants them back together because we saw their history. And, you know, like you said, we saw Bo and Hope's first kiss and Shane and Kim. And that was a very bizarre relationship with Shane and Kim that he was kind of investigating her. So that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
So you want them back together because you saw the beginning. The problem is if you're writing a bad beginning for a couple, no one's going to watch. I mean,
right.
Like I said, you can't have elevator sex and expect people to cheer for this couple. But we all know in real life, you know, if you're going to hook up with somebody with an elevator, they're not going to call you the next day. You know, I mean, Luke is like, you know, like a couple months later once he married Chloe, he's like, what? Where the hell did that come from?
It was EJ and Nicole, but I kind of like them together.
Yeah,
you know, they
have,
work better than Chloe and Lucas, but,
yeah. Yeah, they,
well, they
yeah,
did
they
have a little more of a relationship before the elevator sex than Lucas. Lucas and Chloe just seemed like, oh, okay, we're trapped
yeah,
in the elevator,
ducking,
and we don't have anything else to do, so let's go for it. I mean, EJ and Nicole, you know, you could tell Nicole was jealous of Sammy for quite a while, and she, they were trying to build, and they were getting closer, and then at the time they had that Trent Robbins character on there who was blackmailing Nicole to do something, I forget what, and that was sort of keeping her away from EJ, but you could tell that, you know, the wanting, at least from Nicole's side, that she wanted to be there with EJ, and EJ was still sort of conflicted as to who he wanted to be with. But, yeah, I think with them it was a little bit better. I mean, but, yeah, Lucas and Chloe were totally the definition of an elevator sex encounter where you wouldn't expect a call the next day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like you said, Chloe, all of her relationships have been like that since she's been back. And she's
mm-hmm.
just, they're writing her so dumb. I mean, this whole thing this week with Vivian, you know, having her go to the hotel and, so she thought Daniel and Carly had been together at the hotel and all. It just seemed like, God, this is, I just, she, it was, she just felt, she was so dumb.
It's
and
struck
I
me, it's totally passion. It was totally passion, though. I mean, it was dumb. If Nadia could have pulled it off, she probably should have done it in a campy way. Like how the actors played dumb on Passion. Like, you kind of knew they were in on the joke. That,
right.
And she didn't do it. She was playing it straight. I think she would have... I think Chloe could be a more popular character if Nadia just played her a bit more campy and clueless in a way that, you know, you could tell that the actress knows that, you know, the character's just totally clueless and it's funny. But she's not doing that way. She's doing it totally straight and... It's not doing Nadia or Chloe any favors at all that she's playing her straight. I think she should play it for laughs, maybe, how dumb she is, and Yeah, I think that's the thing. That's what I think. Going back to the whole my one blog that I loved, Are You There, God? It's Me, Chloe, when she was confessing to the father about how she loved Lucas, but the sex was great with Daniel, and she didn't know who God wanted her to be with. I mean, I think if Ariane Zucker would have had that storyline, she would have played it for camp, and it would have been funny. And people would have enjoyed it.
Oh, she would have
been, yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, it was hysterical. But Nadia just didn't do it that way. And I think maybe the producer or director or somebody should tell her, you know, play this for laughs, and it would be a lot more enjoyable. I just can't, you know, imagine going up to strangers and they're like, oh, yeah, your husband's cheating on you, and believing it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
why is it they have so many scenes with that, with Father, I can't remember his name. Father, what's his
Father
name?
Father Matt.
Chloe.
Father, what's his name?
Father Matt, is that his name? Yeah.
Father
and
Matt?
Why is it, yeah, they have them together in so many scenes. It's like, can't she make any kind of a decision for herself?
He's
without
the only one she talks. Yeah, she's the only one he talks to.
Well,
yeah.
She talks to Father Matt, who tells her to do the right thing, and then she talks to Nicole, who tells her to do the wrong thing.
Father Matt talks to no one else but Chloe and Salem.
Yes.
Like he's
Chloe.
Only around to be Chloe's,
Chloe.
You know, voice, and the person that Chloe
the
talks
reason.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a blog on Thursday about 30 episodes.
You should talk
what?
To Vivian. I think that would be interesting conversation.
Oh, God. Yeah. That'd be hysterical. She's good at confession.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, Thursday episode, a lot of stuff happened, but like I wrote in the blog, it just, the writing was there, but the execution wasn't. So it just fell flat. But you have EJ telling Sammy to move into the mansion. That went fine. That was no problem. But whole Melanie and Nathan kissing, and then Philip watching them, and then Philip's drunk, and then he's knocking on Chloe's door, and Chloe so easily being fooled into thinking Daniel's cheating on her. I mean, all this stuff happened all in this one episode, but it just wasn't, you know, at the edge of your seat riveting. It was just like, I mean, you're glad things were progressing, but it just, the execution was terrible.
Enjoyed was Kate and Stefano, the one
yeah.
where they gave the high five, you know, when they were talking about
mm-hmm.
Sammy moving in and cooking the brownies and everything. I thought they're always right on together. They need to have more of those two on.
Oh yeah, they're an excellent couple. And what's that?
Oh, yeah.
There's such a mystery there.
And they're getting along. Like, are they getting along, or are they playing each
yeah.
other, or are they truly falling for each other?
I think Stefano really cares for her.
I think so too.
Lauren Coslow is doing a great job, though, with keeping you guessing. And I hope she keeps
right.
that up.
With Kate, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't know where she's going. You know Lauren's doing it on purpose. I think that's fantastic. But sometimes
mm-hmm.
she seems really caring about Stefano, and sometimes she just seems like she doesn't really care. She's just waiting for him to die.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you just don't know with her, with Kate.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they're actually fascinating, and those two people don't get a storyline.
Yeah,
but
maybe we'll see more of them when EJ and Sammy move in. There'll be more.
Yes,
and now with
so.
This Madeline back in, there'll be more. I think they're going to get more, you know, screen time.
Yeah, it should be just like an all-out bitch fest from.
Yeah, really.
With all there. Well, someone wants to know if we heard whether or not Matt Asher was asked to return.
No.
No, he's on the Mamma Mia national tour,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
That's going on until June, and I believe all the Francis Reed stuff is going to be happening in May. So, you know, I bet he would have, if he hadn't been on that tour, I bet he would have done it, but
mm-hmm.
such luck.
Yeah. It's a shame, too. They're not bringing Abby into, or not bringing in, they might be Abby.
I hadn't heard anything
yeah.
about it.
Oh,
no,
you did.
I don't think so.
I did hear they recast Bill Horton. He's
Because, well, both Edward Mallory and Christopher Stone. The other Bill, they're both passed away, so they just had to bring someone on as Bill Horton, so he's the new one.
I don't mind that.
Wonderful stick
around.
No.
It's been such a long time since any Bill Horton's been on the show. Yeah, I don't mind that. Oh, besides, I mean, Bill Horton does have a family. I mean, he does have Jennifer and Mike and Lucas.
Lucas.
So, yeah. And we've never seen an actual Kate and Bill either. So, yeah, that would be kind of interesting. And so I saw people online suggesting maybe they'll do a Maggie-Bill-Kate love triangle.
Yeah. You know, it's just sad when you think about all the storylines everyone wishes were to happen with these returns, and you know the returns are probably only going to be for a couple of days to pay respects to Frances Reed, and they're all gone. But,
and
you know, it's kind of sad when there's so much enthusiasm for storylines that aren't anywhere going to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kim and Shane fans, I mean, I would love to see them together, but I don't expect to see it just because I'm used to being disappointed, and people are wanting to see Jennifer get into it with Carly and Hope because she's friends with both of them. They want to see Mike and Carrie back together. The thing you mentioned about Bill, there are so many different Lucas. If people want to see Sammy and Lucas in scenes together, there's so many different people wanting to see happening with the people returning. Carrie and Anna. But we're not going to see, and Carrie and Sammy, I've heard that. They'd like to see Carrie and Sammy, and it's just sad because, you know, I'm sure we probably won't see any of it. But, we'll see the actors again, you know, it's a nice treat. But, it just goes to show how many people really liked the storylines of the past, and I really think, you know, with Day's ratings going back into the ones again.
Oh,
maybe
bad.
They should consider it.
Did hear that we have an Anna and Clyde B storyline coming up, which should be fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, hopefully they won't F that up. Yeah, that's going to be lots of fun. But
know what it's going to be. Yeah.
I don't know if this is Day's new strategy that they're going to bring fan favorites back just for a few episodes and see how it plays out, maybe bring them back later. So we keep hearing that with all these actors, it's kind of a wait and see. Oh, we'll bring them back for a few episodes and then maybe more. I mean, they said that about Wally Kurth. They said that about Leanne Hunley, and they're both still on the show with someone.
And they're saying it about Charles Shaughnessy, too, I think.
Yeah.
It sounds like the door may be open for him to be on longer. And you know, if he's on longer, then everyone's going to want Patsy Pease to stay on longer. I don't know how that's going to work out, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And same with Arlene said the same thing, too, like she shot 6 episodes and she might be back for longer. So I don't know if this is a wait and see. They're going to wait to see the ratings come in or not and how that works, or I'm assuming Charles particularly must be super busy. I mean, he's on Mad Men and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's only on Mad Men every once in a while. He's not on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have like a steady role on Mad Men. He comes on every once in a while, and he was doing a movie. I think it was called Audrey. But you know, he may be open. I mean, I loved his Twitter he did this week of saying it was a reunion. It was like 1986 again. And I'm like, hey, 1986 was one of my favorite Days of Our Lives years. So I'm like, 1986 worked for me. And then Patsy Pease on her Facebook page today was saying, yesterday, how Charles Shaughnessy was her hero and she loved being back. And so, you know, it's nice to know that, you know, that they're enjoying being there because it gives hope that maybe, you know, maybe Kim and Shane fans will get their return. You know, I sure hope so. I mean, I'm a Kim and Shane fan, so I sure would love to. I sure would love to see them. I mean, they were one of the best couples, and they so screwed it up when Kim came back that last time, and Shane was with Kayla the whole time. I'm like, they only put Kayla with Shane because Stephen Nichols wasn't there anymore, and they had to put her with somebody. You know, But, you know, once Kim was back, I'm like, Shane should have dropped her like a hot potato and gone back to Kim.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm prepared to be disappointed, but I would sure love to see, I'd love to see Calliope on longer and Shane and Kim on longer hell, you know, have Matt Ashford come back from Mamma Mia and see Jack and Jennifer back on. I mean, Missy Reeves was saying how happy she was to be back at work again after being away. Maybe she's realized Tennessee isn't all it's cracked up to be, and she'll come back. Who knows? I mean, her husband's on General Hospital now, so maybe she'd like to be back in L.A., you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It sure would be nice, but then they're going to say, oh, it'll be too many returns, you know. But
I missed the
first summer.
Oh, yeah. This wasn't me, but in the chat room we have a request for talking about Lost.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it wasn't you? Come on.
It wasn't me. It was Sally. Because, I didn't vlog about The Last Recruit, which was Tuesday's episode, because I was watching hockey.
Well, that's better.
Well, they won. But, I watched most of the episode. I think I missed the Kate and Sawyer part. But I was kind of disappointed overall, because everything was too short. And that was my Thursday. Day's episode, it looked good on paper, but it wasn't an execution. The Jack and Locke scenes were too short. And you wanted Jack... I mean, seriously, if you're with the smoke monster and you've been dealing with this thing for, like, 3 years, wouldn't you talk to him more than, like, 2 or 3 minutes? And ask more than one question, you know? So that really disappointed me. But the acting, though, with what they had, though, was superb. Because you could just kind of smell the fear on Jack. And then the whole Desmond and Saeed scene, where Des is in the well and Locke sent Saeed to kill Des. Because, that scene was too short. But, I mean, it got to the point. Des is like, okay, if you kill me, what are you going to tell Nadia about what you had to do to get back to her? I mean, that's brilliant, and that says to me, too, I think Desmond is aware of the sideways world. He knows what's going on. He knows his doppelganger ran over Locke.
Oh, yeah.
He ran over Locke,
yeah.
Yeah, and...
to me. You figure it out more than I do, but...
Well, this is what cracks me up about Lost. You can... The whole episode,
so that's what it is, it's a sideways world, right? It's two different realities.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Desmond and I think Sun is kind of infected too, because I think that's why Sun lost her ability to speak English, was because she was knocked out and her sideways doppelganger can't speak English. So that's why she reverted back to Korean.
Oh, okay.
And then when she saw Jin, she kind of snapped out of it. But
yeah.
Then on Sideways World, though, she recognized Locke, and she had no knowledge of Locke when she was being rolled into the hospital and she saw Locke on the gurney next to her, and she was freaking out. So she not only was she remembering Locke, she was remembering he was the smoke monster.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really fascinating. And I saw people complaining online. They thought the Sun and Jin reunion was too quick, and we were all wondering why they didn't get zapped by those... Pylon thing.
Sounds like Bay's reunions. Too quick.
Yeah, they're too quick. Okay. Let's write them off the show.
Yeah. Write them off the show. We brought them back after 20 years. Let's write them off the show.
Let's have them propose in the Brady Pub. You know, stupid
yeah.
crap. That.
Let's have an off-screen wedding. Yeah.
Yeah, off-screen wedding. Yeah, and then people were complaining that Son's recovery in hospital was too quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, I think they just have so much stuff to cram in, maybe, that everything is just being done badly, because they're just trying to make sure they can cram it all in, but they know everybody's going to bitch if it's not done correctly. You know, they don't get all the questions answered. So anyway, so that was my whole thing on Lost, and I haven't written it yet. Maybe when I get my computer saved from spyware that somehow just infected as soon as I got on the show today, I'll blog about it. If not, my computer could be down for days now. But so we're wrapping up the show tonight. So
okay.
I'm going to thank Fancy Faze, and unfortunately, Sal, she's lost her batteries. And Queen of the Night for being here, and
okay.
Rose for calling in again. And I wanted to remind everybody to listen to our interview with Wally Curris on Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an hour. And please call in and talk to Wally. I mean, that's such an awesome opportunity. And we're so blessed that we get to talk to these actors, and they've all been so kind to us. And I'm hoping that everybody else can get that experience. So... yeah, so I'm really looking forward to the interview. And Wally seems like such
too.
A sweetheart.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
me too.
Okay, so
okay.
Till next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.